Hey everyone, it's The Takeaway. While people around the world were ringing in the new year Monday night, another historic event was unfolding about 4 billion miles from Earth. NASA's New Horizons space probe flew past a tiny rock in space, and that rock, called MU69, is the farthest object in the solar system that humankind has ever explored. The probe will be sending back data and high-resolution photos of MU69. And it's a significant moment for space exploration, and Emily Rice is here to tell us all about it. She's a professor of astrophysics at the CUNY College of Staten Island and the Graduate Center, and a researcher at the American Museum of Natural History. Emily, I can't think of anyone better to help us understand what this is all about. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what is MU69? It's a little rock, and we're all excited about it? Why?
Yeah, well, we're about to find out what it is. That's one of the great big mysteries, is that this object, the full official name right now is 2014 MU69, because it was only discovered in 2014. So it's one of these Kuiper Belt objects that are out there at kind of towards the outer edge of the solar system. And there's a lot of unanswered questions about this part of the solar system. And so this object happened to be on the way of New Horizons, basically. Only slight trajectory shifts could get us really, really close to it. And so it was picked to be the target for the extended mission, and it's had a successful flyby.
Now, I'm no astrophysicist, obviously, but aren't there lots of rocks flying around at that in space? Like, why is this one so special?
This one's so special just because of where it was, basically. There are lots of rocks flying around out in space, but still the vast majority of space is really, really empty. Even the Kuiper Belt is much more massive than the asteroid belt, which people might be more familiar with. There's a lot more objects in the Kuiper Belt, but still huge amounts of empty space in between them.
So what kind of data was the New Horizons satellite collecting? Like, what were they looking for, and why did they get so excited when they saw MU69?
There's several instruments on the New Horizons spacecraft that do imaging and imaging spectroscopy. So the spectroscopy.
That sounds complicated.
Yeah, okay. It does, but it's not. It's like spectra. It's like a rainbow, basically. A rainbow at different wavelengths of light. And so the images is what really hits us. That's when we can see new images of outer solar system objects. We go from a fuzzy blob to a new world, like we did when New Horizons passed Pluto and the Charon system several years ago, and we have these new textbook images. You know, everything had to be rewritten. It was beautiful. And now we're going to get the same thing, but for a much, much smaller object. So the images by themselves are going to be astounding, and those will give us a much better idea of the shape of the object, actually whether it might be two objects. Right now we think it's kind of like a peanut shape. And that peanut could actually be disconnected, or it could be a contact binary. We'll find out when the higher resolution data comes in. But the spectroscopy, the kind of more detailed observations, are going to tell us a little bit more about the composition of the surface of the object.
And what will that tell us if we know what it's made out of? What does that tell you guys?
That can tell us about the formation of the object, as well as the formation of the entire solar system, because we really do think this object is a relic of the formation of the solar system 4.5 billion years ago.
Like when everything went bang?
when the solar system went bang, kind of. When the dust settled in the solar system.
So is this one of those little pieces of dust that maybe potentially was there 4 billion years ago?
Quite possibly, yeah.
Now that makes it interesting.
Yeah.
Now I'm intrigued. Okay, so how long before we get to see images, Emily?
In the next couple days, some higher resolution data will come in. It's actually going to be public right away, a lot of the data, and then kind of once a week, more images will be released. It's still not going to be, you know, I think sometimes with the Hubble Space Telescope, we get spoiled with images. This one, at best, we might get about 200 pixels across.
What about, there was a little bit of a controversy, too, about the name. Tell us a little bit about that. What's going on there?
MU69 does have a nickname right now. The nickname that was chosen by the mission from 30-some-odd suggestions before the flyby happened, but after it was kind of planned and after the target was discovered and chosen, is Ultima Thule, or Ultima Thule. And that's it's an ancient term that going back into Greco-Roman mythology, I believe, that means kind of the ultimate edge of the world. It was previously used to talk about Greenland and Iceland and things like that. But there's been some controversy because we realized, you know, during all the hype of this flyby, that Ultima Thule has also been used by Nazis before the 1930s, but as the Aryan homeland. And a woman wrote an article in Newsweek about it in even March of this year, but kind of, you know, it kind of flew under the radar for a little while. And so some people are saying, well, you know, we really can do better than this. Like, even though it's a temporary nickname, especially in today's day and age, like, you know, science is not completely divorced from politics and everything else that's going on. And so we should really take these into account, even when we're just picking a temporary nickname.
Yeah, sounds like a not so great choice so far, but we shall see what the scientific community comes up with next.
It will get an official name probably before the end of 2019 from the International Astronomical Union.
So, Emily, as we enter the new year, what besides this are we excited about when it comes to space exploration?
2019 might be the year of the moon, I think. Yeah, it's kind of exciting because it's the 50th anniversary of humans landing on the moon. But there's also, you know, we kind of humans haven't gone back, which is really disappointing to me. I was born after the Apollo era. And so I would love to look at the moon and see people walking on it. But really, the next best thing is to explore previously unexplored regions of the moon. So we've imaged it. There's been orbiters. But there's a bunch of landers that are going to go onto the moon in the next year by the Chinese Space Agency, as well as a sample return mission that they're doing. And by the Indian Space Agency. Both have lunar landing missions planned this year, which is really exciting because it includes especially the far side of the moon as well as the south pole of the moon. So places that we haven't really explored too much in detail.
I was just going to say something about the dark side of the moon, but
I'll save that. Yeah.
Emily Rice is a professor of astrophysics at the CUNY College of Staten Island and the Graduate Center and a researcher at the American Museum of Natural History. Emily, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.